Praise the Lord, everybody. This is the day. Oh my goodness, it is Friday. It is the end of another week. Oh my, I tell you, time is flying, but you know what? It's okay, because we are flying with God by our side. Father, we thank you. We thank you for each and every new day that you allow us to wake up and be able to give you the praise, the honor, and the adoration. And today, God, is no different. So we lift your name up. We give you thanks for bringing us to the end of another work week. It's not the end of the week, but it is the end of the work week. And we are so excited and delighted to hear what you would say to us today. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. The sin of Eli and his sons were grievous. Therefore, the judgment for their sin was also severe. The Bible tells us that the sons of Eli were scoundrels who had no respect for the Lord or for their duties as priests. Eli was very old, but he was aware of what his sons were doing to the people of Israel. He knew, for instance, that his sons were seducing the young women who assisted at the entrance of the tabernacle. And what was Eli's response? I've been hearing reports from all the people about the wicked things you are doing. Why do you keep sinning? You must stop, my sons. The reports I hear among the Lord's people are not good. But Eli's sons wouldn't listen to their father. So what did Eli do? Nothing. But guess what? The Lord was fixing to do something. It says the Lord was already planning to put his boys to death. Now, what we understand is that God did not judge them immediately. Why? Because God is long-suffering. It's the same reason he doesn't judge us immediately. He gives much time and opportunity to repent. But if repentance does not occur, there comes a time when God says, enough is enough, and judgment is pronounced. God will deal with corruption in due season, whether that corruption is personal or national. And I know that sometimes we look at the situation and, like the prophet Habakkuk, we want to complain and say, how long, Lord, will you put up with this wickedness that is all around us? But what we can be assured of is that God will act in due season, just like he did with Eli when he sent him this message. One day, a man of God came to Eli and gave him this message from the Lord. I promised that your branch of the tribe of Levi would always be my priests, but I will honor those who honor me. And I will despise those who think lightly of me. The time is coming when I will put an end, oh my, to your family so that it will no longer serve as my priest. So understand, the judgment isn't just on that generation, Eli and his sons, but on the successive generations as well. Oh my, the decisions we make today can have a lasting impact. God says all the members of your family will die before their time. None will reach old age. You will watch with envy as I pour out prosperity on the people of Israel, but no members of your family will ever live out their days. The few not cut off from serving at my altar will survive, but only so their eyes can go blind and their hearts break, and their children will die a violent death. And to prove that what I said will come true, I will cause your two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, to die on the same day. And of course, what God didn't say here was that their death too would be a violent death. God even gave Eli a sign so that Eli will know. The wages of sin is death. And in this case, it would be premature death on both of his sons. God would literally remove the cancer that is Eli's sons. They were so bad, resurrection was not possible. They simply had to be taken out, removed. But you see, God always has a remedy, a remnant. And so in the midst of judgment, in the midst of corruption, God announces his prescription to the problem. He says, I will raise up a faithful priest who will serve me and do what I desire. I will establish his family, and they will be priests to my anointed kings forever. And now look at the contrast. Then all of your surviving family, Eli, will bow down before his family, begging for money and food. Please, they will say, give us jobs among the priests so we will have enough to eat. We don't have to wonder who that faithful priest would be. Oh, no, no, no. It was Samuel. And see, Samuel was already waiting in the wings, being groomed to take over Eli's position. Yes, Eli's position. And guess what? He was being groomed by Eli himself. Isn't God amazing? This is where we see God's resurrection power manifested. In the midst of all the corruption perpetrated by Eli and his sons, in the midst of it all, here is Samuel, a shining star, like a phoenix rising out of the ashes. And so it is not surprising that the next thing we hear is God speaking to the one that he is raising up. He calls Samuel, even though he is still a boy. God calls the young because they're strong. But guess what? Don't worry. God also calls the old. I know we're not supposed to call ourselves old, but that's okay. That's who we are. It's okay. But God calls the old because they are wise and have learned some things over these years. So don't be surprised, like Samuel was surprised, if God is raising you up for such a time as this. This is what the situation was when God first spoke to Samuel. Meanwhile, the boy Samuel served the Lord by assisting Eli. That's how he was learning. Now, in those days, messages from the Lord were very rare and visions were quite uncommon. But guess what? That is getting ready to change. How? Because God is speaking to Samuel, and then he is going to speak through Samuel. One night, Eli, who was almost blind by now, had gone to bed. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was sleeping in the tabernacle near the Ark of God. The Ark of God represented the presence of God. Suddenly, the Lord called out, Samuel. Yes, what is it? He ran to Eli. Here I am. Did you call me? No, I didn't call you. Go back to bed. Then the Lord called out again, Samuel. Again, Samuel got up and went to Eli. Here I am. Did you call me? Nope, I didn't call you, my son. Go back to bed. Samuel did not yet know the Lord because he had never heard a message from the Lord before. So the Lord called a third time. See, God is training him to hear and recognize his voice. And once more, Samuel got up and went to Eli. Here I am. Did you call me? Then Eli realized it was the Lord who was calling the boy. So he said to Samuel, go and lie down again. And if someone calls again, say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. So Samuel went back to bed, and the Lord came and called as before, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel replied, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. You know, I remember that as a child, the Sunday school lesson always ended right there. They never told us what God said to Samuel. Perhaps they wanted to leave us with those words ringing in our ears. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. And guess what? I also want those words to reverberate in your ears and in your hearts. Are you listening for the voice of God so that he can speak to you, and then, like Samuel, he can speak through you to those who are in desperate need of resurrection power? I want those words to reverberate in your spirit. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. But I'm not going to stop there. This is the message that God gave the boy Samuel, a message of judgment against the very man who was raising him, a message of judgment on the high priest given to a boy. Wow, what a responsibility. Then the Lord said to Samuel, I am about to do a shocking thing in Israel. I am going to carry out all my threats against Eli and his family from beginning to end. I have already warned him that judgment is coming upon his family forever because his two sons, are blaspheming God and he has not discipline them. In other words, he did not impeach them and remove them from office. So what is God going to do? God is going to remove not only them, but all his generations to follow. So God says, I have vowed that the sins of Eli and his sons will never be forgiven. Oh my, will never be forgiven by sacrifices or offerings. Wow, what a message for this young boy to receive that he now has to give to the one who is his superior. But I believe this is training for Samuel on two levels. To know, first of all, that God does not tolerate sin and will ultimately judge it. This was a personal warning to Samuel as God was raising him up, warning him indirectly by giving him this message of judgment, warning him of what happens to those who sin against him and continue to sin. And secondly, it was teaching Samuel not to be afraid to speak God's truth to those who may be in a place and position of power and authority. It did not matter, but nonetheless, it would take courage to say, thus says the Lord, to kings and to those who do not want to hear the truth. Likewise, it's going to take courage for you and for me to speak truth to people who do not want to hear it. But guess what? Speak, you must. The text goes on to say, Samuel stayed in bed until morning. Seems like he didn't go back to sleep. Then he got up, opened the doors of the tabernacle as usual. But he was afraid to tell Eli what the Lord had said to him. But Eli said, Samuel, my son, what did the Lord say? Tell me everything, and may God strike you and even kill you if you hide anything from me. So Samuel told Eli everything. He did not hold anything back. It is the Lord's will, Eli replied. Let him do what he thinks best. And we hear these words. As Samuel grew up, the Lord was with him, and everything Samuel said proved to be reliable. So notice, that was only the beginning of God speaking to Samuel. God continued to speak to Samuel, and all Israel from Dan in the north to Beersheba in the south knew that Samuel was confirmed as a prophet of the Lord. The Lord continued to appear at Shiloh and continued to give messages to Samuel there at the tabernacle. And Samuel's word went out to all the people of Israel. See, he learned his lesson. He learned to speak the truth no matter what. No matter the person, the position, the power, or the authority that they had. And as a result, the people recognized that Samuel was a prophet speaking God's truth. So a call to action today is to be like Samuel, faithful to God in the midst of a corrupt society, and then listening to the voice of God and speaking God's truth to a people who desperately need to hear it. May God grant us the courage to do just that. So have a fabulous Friday and a wonderful weekend. Peace and blessings rest upon you richly. Shalom.